It is Thursday, the day we read from your letters, and first of all, we heard from several listeners about our assertion that last night brought a blue moon, the first to fall on Halloween since 1955. Mary Liz Riddle of Missoula, Montana, wrote to tell us that no such thing happened. The full moon, she wrote, does not become full until November 1st. Really, the full moon on November 30th will qualify as the second full moon in the month. She's right, the current full moon arrived at 5:41 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which means that technically it falls on November 1st, not on Halloween.
Sam McLean is an emergency room doctor in Ann Arbor, Michigan, who says he's seeing many anxious patients these days, upset by recent events and news coverage, which exaggerates the sense of personal risk. He put our story on dark winter in that category. It was about an exercise in planning for an epidemic. He writes, "Why not have a group of experts on the show and have a long discussion regarding which state a nuclear attack might be most likely to hit, or discuss who the government might save if an asteroid hit the Earth and blocked out the sun for an extended period? Is dwelling on such an unlikely event in excruciatingly morbid detail good journalism or sensationalism, which contributes to panic during this challenging time for our nation? Until now, when I've seen stressed-out patients, my advice to them has been limit your television. Now, indeed, it is limit your NPR as well."
Howard Stein, who works in preventative medicine for the University of Oklahoma, has another reaction. "Your story on the imagined deadly epidemic in America, aired on Monday, October 29th, is uncanny in its timeliness. Just in time for Halloween, just as Orson Welles' War of the Worlds was in 1938, on the eve of World War II. The difference is that we humans don't need Martians now to terrorize us. We have each other. Such suffices. I am also unsure whether that story, and the chilling way it was told, prepares us or frightens us more."
Kim Feinoff Dorian writes from Ohio about Marika Partridge's memories of a visit to Afghanistan in 1969. She writes, "I traveled throughout my childhood during the 70s and 80s with my family to many parts of the world. We started traveling when I was so young, I remember sleeping underneath the airplane seats on our travels to different countries. Now that I have a one-year-old, I hope someday the world will be safe enough to explore as my family did some 30 years ago. When and if we go, I'll have a tape recorder ready. Thank you, Marika, for sharing."
Here is a criticism from Mark Zipp, who writes to us from Saugerties, New York. He thinks some things are missing. "Dear ATC, thanks for your usually excellent show, but we heard nothing of at least three stories which I would have thought fit the show perfectly. 1, tunnel fire in Italy and Switzerland. 2, Iranian soccer fans riot 3 times in the space of 7 days over a loss and a victory. And 3, the war crimes court in The Hague overturns convictions of 3 people from ex-Yugoslavia. Please, please give us a broader view. The last thing our country needs is to turn in on itself."
And finally, Toby Yider of Frederick, Maryland, writes about our report on the Rough Rider football team of Roosevelt High in Seattle, which is struggling through a losing season with few resources. He writes, "I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoyed your story of Friday about the Roosevelt High School football team. It was so nice to hear their attitudes and perspectives, so positive and down to earth. I was really impressed by that. It was also nice to hear a story about regular American life and regular Americans."
Thanks to all for writing. You can reach us by email. The address is atc@npr.org. And include, please, your telephone numbers, the name of your town, and guidance on pronouncing your name.